Jameson Morton, and you're listening to Legalist Rainmaker Podcast, where we interview attorneys at top law firms about how they made partner.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. Our guest today is Faith Gay, founding partner of Selendy & Gay. Prior to founding her own firm, Faith was the co-chair of a national trial practice at one of the nation's most prominent litigation firms. Hey, Faith, it's such an honor to have you on our show. Want to kick this off and ask if you could start with a brief intro, you know, of your firm and your practice as well, please.
It's called Selendy & Gay. I'm one of the founding partners. We have about 100 folks here who are all trial lawyers and appellate lawyers. So all we do is try cases and appear in appellate settings. We do plaintiff and defense work. We do every kind of business litigation and civil rights litigation known to man or beast.
Fantastic. And I like the man or beast line there. So Faith, I want to start, you know, our conversation today, by calling out something that's quite extraordinary. And that's the fact that after decades of big law partnership, you actually took some time off to pursue divinity. And I'm just kind of curious why, and if you could kind of shed some light on that for us.
It's a great question. It's something that I had wanted to do since I was a young person. And I decided that I thought it would enhance my understanding of the world and of people and of issues in the world. It sort of deepened my learning and sense of logic and sense of the world when logic doesn't work. And so I think it's only helped me in my practice in terms of, as I say, understanding people, issues, the world, and certainly in our public interest practice, our pro bono practice, our civil rights practice. It's been particularly useful because sometimes the issues are so intractable and sometimes the laws are just unjust, and you need to be able to speak a language that's not simply legal. If you are dealing with someone in a death row situation, or you're dealing with someone who has been the victim of overcriminalization, and by that I mean someone who's been charged for a very serious crime when they've done really nothing at all or something very minor, and they're dealing with a system of laws that is just not just. It's important to be able to speak in a different language, a spiritual language, in order to give hope and consolation, solidarity. And sometimes that language is more understandable than a world of laws that seems incomprehensible and unfair to the person in question.
Wow, that's a great answer, and I love the world point of view there too. It sounds like you really spent a lot of time thinking about, you know, how you can make a difference as a lawyer, which is just really refreshing to hear. Still, you know this, of course, but you've done a ton of pro bono and civil rights cases over the years. So I'm curious, you know, how have these public interest cases shaped you as a lawyer as well?
Well, I certainly think that lawyers are meant, first of all, to serve. And it's something that we forget. And it's the most satisfying part of a legal career. So providing service to anyone who hasn't had the opportunity for quality legal representation is both an honor and a privilege. And you learn from it. You deepen your own sense of craft. You fulfill the reason, at least in my case, the reason I went to law school in the first place. And it certainly gives you an opportunity to be in a different setting than a corporate setting. So you expand your knowledge of how to advocate in a courtroom. So I think all of those things are good things. But, you know, essentially, I think serving folks who haven't had the opportunity for representation or quality representation is the main reason to be a litigator.
Right. And, you know, that's certainly a great philosophy for lawyers to live by. And I want to tell you, I feel like we kind of hit the meta there, but I want to get a little bit more specific now. So Faith, you know, you're the first founding partner we've interviewed on the show, and we've interviewed a lot of partners. So I'm curious, could you tell us what you're looking for when you hire young attorneys?
I think first and foremost, a passion for litigation and for the law. For the law as both a craft and a transformative vehicle in American society. We want people who know what they want to do and who are prepared to do it intensively and to do it in a community of other people who are likewise committed. I think that's number one. Number two, everyone would say, of course, that you need to be smart and gifted in the law. I mean, to me, that almost goes without saying. It's the same thing as, you know, brushing your teeth. I mean, being smart and doing your job well and just almost, it almost goes without saying. So above and beyond that, I think it's a passion for what we're doing, a desire to hone the craft, a desire to use law to make the lives of others better, to help people out of very difficult situations, whether it's corporations or individuals, and a commitment to working in a close-knit community that's doing exactly the same thing. We're not looking for someone who's just visiting, so to speak.
Well, yeah, that absolutely makes sense. You probably invest a lot of time and energy into folks developing them. So let's presume I fit all of the criteria in the recruitment process. And now, you know, very luckily, of course, I'm an associate at Selendy & Gay. What would it take for me to become a partner here?
Well, look, I think you're serving two or three different interest groups, right? Yeah, your first commitment, of course, is to your clients. You may not be the person leading the client relationship, but you have every opportunity to build a relationship with a client where you anticipate that person's needs. The client is always a person, whether it's a corporation or not. And that person has job stresses, has critical issues, including, you know, not only winning the case, managing their budget, getting through their day and handling a million things on their plate. So the first thing is to sort of follow the golden rule and care for your client and put yourself in their shoes and help them in any way possible. Sometimes helping them is telling them they're wrong about the way they're approaching a case. And you have to, that's part of your duty too. You know, the second part of it is adhering to the interests of the community of lawyers that you're practicing in your firm, making sure you're appropriately carrying your load, you're not pushing stuff off others, you're working efficiently. I think the third thing is there is a world outside of the law firm. You should have part of your day being outreach outside the firm. Don't let the firm or wherever you're working take over your entire life. Have enough discipline to set aside time to be making outreach to others. And you do it in areas that interest you. I mean, you know, we all have only the gift of living so many days in this world. And every day you should be trying to do something that either deepens real interest that you have or helps others. And actually reaches outside of the firm that you're in. So you're broadening your world so that you will have not only connections, but deep interests and expertise so that you can bring business into the firm. And I guarantee you, whatever situation you're in any kind of law firm, partners will be interested in you and want you to be part of their partnership if you do two things. And one of them is not good work, because that's assumed. Without that, you shouldn't have your job. One is you make their lives better and the lives of the client in an efficient way. And two, you start to build relationships outside of the firm that you can bring into the firm. That those two things standing by themselves will put you on a solid path to partnership.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I especially like the point about bringing external relationships to the firm. Relationship building is a very common theme on the podcast here. But I'm wondering, maybe you could elaborate just a little bit more, you know, like how would you personally reach out to clients these days, for example?
Well, I think the world has changed. You know, we're in this hinge time, maybe the most important year of change since the Civil War. So all business is going to be done so much differently. So now everyone is stuck at home. And it's interesting because you have a chance now for access to folks you may never have had before. And by that, I mean, you know, this is a time where you can reach out to people you always wanted to meet. You can tell them what you're up to. They're stuck at home, too. You can arrange a Zoom call. I think probably the better way to do it, of course, is to study up a little bit on them, what interests they have, how their business is changing in light of this pandemic, what their legal needs may be in light of this pandemic. And it gives you a perfect excuse to make contact.
Yeah, I tend to completely agree with that. Now is definitely the time to reach out. And talking a little bit about the specifics here, Faith, you know, I'm wondering what concrete steps, you know, would you suggest associates take today? You know, for example, if I just joined the law firm, I've never really reached out to clients, like where should I begin? Should I like set aside, say, you know, 15 minutes each day or just call all my contacts or could you help me out a little there? And what do you think?
Well, I mean, I think at the very least, set aside 15 minutes a day. You should do that whether you're in trial or about to argue an appeal or whatever it is that is occupying you. I mean, the huge deal is to set aside a little bit of time every day to make contact with the outside world, so to speak, and to make sure you're doing it in a way that aligns with your interests, what you want to spend your life doing, because otherwise you won't do it well, you won't do it carefully, and you're actually looking for business that you don't really want. You know, in terms of development for associates, I've always thought that's sort of the same as for partners. You can't close yourself off in a little cosseted world within your firm. You have to, be awake and alive to the world. You have to be studying trends. You have to be thinking about, and I'm thinking about this often in terms of litigation, what will be the next greatest need that's out there? I mean, right now, for example, super obvious that bankruptcy, restructuring, reconfiguration of business skills is going to be important. Super obvious that employee relationships are going to change, employer-employee relationships. Employment's going to become more transient, more episodic, which is a trend that was already starting. But employment's important. There are other areas that are, you can see will require a lot of thinking going forward. I mean, one that comes to mind readily is education. I mean, all educational institutions are going through complete sea changes, not just when thinking about whether they're going to be in session in the fall, but what their model is going to be like for teaching in the future, what their value proposition is, if people can't gather, and if people can't, if they have many fewer dollars and employment prospects to leverage. So that's an area that's going to need a lot of help. There's, enormous issues around student debt and student financing. So, I mean, so much of this is just looking and studying what's going on in the world. I mean, another area that pops to mind is globalization. If you're interested in trade and the future of trade, now is your time to step forward with new ideas. There's so little consensus in the world right now, and we're at such a time of change that, you have an ability as a lawyer to be an influence maker. I mean, policy is being made through litigation right now. Civil rights are changing. Our relationships to each other are changing. So all those things are not only opportunities to make an impact, they're also real opportunities to develop your practice.
Yeah. And once again, absolutely. I feel like that was a tremendous answer. It's actually inspiring hearing you talk about, how lawyers should engage with the world, be future oriented and study those emerging trends. And I totally agree with you on that. And I also want to talk about another topic before we run out of time, which is about law firm diversity. And Sutherland & Gay is quite unique in that over 50% of your equity partners are women, which is just extraordinary in the legal industry. We can probably go on and on about this topic, but I just wonder, maybe just like two things. One, what is your take on this issue? And two, what would be your message to colleagues in the legal community?
Sure. I mean, look, I think it is extraordinary that more than 50% of our equity in the firm is held by women. And it certainly wasn't that we approached it looking statistically to land in that place, but rather we did it by really focusing on merit. Who had the best litigation skills? Who had the best counseling skills? Who had the most creativity to offer in our space? And when you open the world up fairly, only along the lines of merit, that's what you come out with is very good representation by women. Look, I think my message for lawyers, particularly lawyers who are working inside of companies, is that you have the power and you ought to exercise it. And again, speaking only for litigation, although I think this applies more broadly, using your ability to hire and fire outside counsel and insisting that that diversity, and I don't mean just women, it permeates the entire team. It's not just window dressing when a pitch is made. It's not just someone who is a token representative whom you never see again, but insisting again on absolute diversity on your teams along with quality. I think in-house has so much more power along those lines than they have ever exercised. And it's a way to do well by doing good and while doing good, because if you're in the litigation business, juries are more diverse, jurists, benches, judges are more diverse. People on the other side are more diverse than ever before. And if you look like a world that does not exist anymore, you will not win. So it's incredibly important to not only do this because your morals are where they should be and you believe in opportunity and equality, but it's also a way to have your business not stuck in some other century. So I think my message would be to all lawyers working in-house to use their power to insist on diversity. And then in terms of law firms, you know, it's not hard. It's not hard to have diversity in your hiring practices. It just requires paying a little bit of attention, putting a little bit of time in, having blind application processes where, for example, you ask, which what we do, applicants to write an essay on a particular legal problem, and then we have blind grading. We don't know whose essays we're grading, and you would be surprised how much easier that makes to control for unconscious bias.
Absolutely. And Faith, I want to tell you, thank you for sharing your message. I think that is very inspiring, probably for a lot of people. Before we wrap up, I just want to ask you about the rise of litigation funding, because we are a litigation finance firm. And so the question I like to ask, you know, have you used litigation funding in your firm? And also, you know, what are your thoughts on litigation funding as a whole?
Well, we hear from funders frequently. There's no question about that. And, you know, we are cautious about funding for, you know, all the obvious reasons. And we try to self-fund ourselves. Although, you know, there are times when it makes sense for us or for our client to go to outside funders. And so the cardinal rule for us is that the client's interests come first and the client's interests come last, and they come everywhere in between. They have the final say. So they make, you know, we make sure they know what the details of the financing are, that they sign off on it, that the interests of the client align with the financing in place, and that there's no possibility that it diverges through asynchronous incentives going forward. So we believe in full disclosure to clients about the details of litigation finance. And that is a rule that we live and die by.
All right. Thanks for listening. Legalist is a tech-driven litigation finance firm that helps lawyers get paid. Rate our podcast and give us a review wherever you find your podcasts. See you next time.